Welcome to GovInnovator. I'm Andy Feldman. Our topic today is applying insights from the social and behavioral sciences to help public agencies, whether at the federal, state, or local levels, strengthen their results. Our guest is Dr. Maya Shankar, who leads the White House team that's helping federal agencies to do that. Here's a clip.
I think it's really empowering to have a low-cost tool that you can add to the toolkit that can be easily embedded into existing government programs and operations, and that can help achieve existing program goals.
On September 15th, 2015, the White House Social and Behavioral Sciences team released its inaugural report that details the results of 15 different collaborative projects with federal agencies to apply insights from behavioral economics and other behavioral sciences to improve program outcomes. On that same day, President Obama issued an executive order encouraging federal agencies to apply behavioral insights in their programs, policies, and operations. To highlight some of the lessons from this work for public leaders, I'm joined by Maya Shankar, who leads the SBST. Maya, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Andy. Long-time listener.
Thanks, Maya. I appreciate that. Some of our listeners may have read the book Nudge. Others might know about the UK Behavioral Insights team, which has done a lot of useful work with British agencies. But for podcast listeners who are new to the subject, start us off with the basics, which is, what are behavioral insights, and why might public leaders and program managers see those insights as a resource?
Well, behavioral science teaches us how people make decisions and how they act on them and follow through on them. And the reason that this matters for government is that Americans are best served when government programs are easy to access and when program information and choices are presented clearly. So, for example, forms should be simple, sign-up processes should be straightforward, Americans should be given clear information about their options. And what behavioral science teaches us is that when programs aren't designed in this way, the consequences for Americans are much larger than we might think. So to give you a concrete example, a behavioral science study showed that a complex financial aid form was far more than a hassle. It actually led to fewer aid applications, and in some cases actually led students to delay or forego going to college altogether. And fortunately, behavioral science also gives us some solutions to overcome these challenges. That same study showed that streamlining the process of applying for federal financial aid by giving families application assistance and allowing them to pre-populate the form using existing tax return data significantly boosted college enrollment. And I was particularly excited because a few weeks ago in Des Moines, President Obama highlighted new steps that we're taking to streamline the process of applying for financial aid so that students who are eligible will have greater access and be able to go to college. And this is the fundamental reason why we built the Social and Behavioral Sciences team. We want to see more of these common sense reforms, and we want to work closely with federal agencies to leverage insights like these about how people make decisions and how they engage with programs in order to improve program outcomes and increase government efficiency.
I'd like to give our listeners a few examples from the report. One is an effort to help military service members prepare for retirement, and in particular, to encourage them to participate in the workforce savings plan for federal employees. It's called the Thrift Savings Plan. The reason that's important is because enrollment rates for service members were relatively low. So the Department of Defense worked with your team to launch an email campaign notifying service members of the opportunity to sign up and the potential benefits of investing and the steps required to enroll. Tell us more about how that email campaign was designed.
So in this particular project, the Social and Behavioral Sciences team designed 8 email variants with different combinations of features based on behavioral insights. So some examples included providing clearer steps to enrollment, framing the decision to enroll as a choice between 2 options. So for example, yes, I want to enroll, no, I do not want to enroll, displaying projected financial returns to investing, and making salient either the short or long-term benefits of participating in the workplace savings plan. We also designed a 9th email variant with language drawn from the Thrift Savings Plan website. During the email campaign, each of over 800,000 service members not enrolled in the Thrift Savings Plan was sent either the website language email, one of the 8 email variants that we designed using behavioral insights, or no email, which was the business as usual practice. And what we found was that the most effective version of the email, which was informed by behavioral insights and which clarified the action steps needed to enroll in the Thrift Savings Plan and emphasized the potential long-term benefits of saving even just a little bit each month, nearly doubled the rate at which service members signed up. Based on the success of the pilot and what the Department of Defense learned, they scaled up the messaging from the successful emails and are now integrating them into emails that will be sent periodically to service members for the remainder of the year.
I think it's a great example of how a project helped them not only determine whether an email campaign was effective or not, but also which version of the emails, which message, in other words, was most effective. Maya, tell us about another project, which was about promoting program integrity and compliance. The goal of this one was to improve the accuracy of sales figures that are self-reported by vendors selling goods and services to the government. Sounds a little bit in the weeds, but it's millions of dollars at stake. One of the key details is that vendors pay the government a small fee based on their reported sales. So the government wants vendors to be as accurate as possible. And I know that working with your team, the federal government, in particular GSA, that's the agency involved, redesigned an online data form to include a signature box at the top of the page where people said this is accurate and you signed your name. Previous behavioral research had shown that a signature box at the top of a page causes people to provide more accurate answers. Your team helped the agency to add that box to their form, and tell us the results.
The signature box was really effective. The federal government collected an additional $1.6 million in fees within a single quarter as a result of the box. And this is a really exciting example of an agency learning what works and then bringing it to scale. So as a result of the pilot, the General Services Administration is permanently updating the online form to incorporate a signature box. And the Social and Behavioral Sciences team will also explore opportunities to apply the signature box intervention to other government contexts in which financial information is self-reported.
Stepping back, Maya, from the specific examples, one thing that I think is really noteworthy is that this approach, rapid experimentation informed by behavioral insights, has gotten agencies in the federal government that some of whom, frankly, had very little experience with testing out new approaches or using rigorous evaluation, suddenly they're doing A-B testing. What's your sense of why such a wide range of agencies has been open to this approach?
Well, we're operating in a fiscally constrained and resource-constrained environment, and I think it's really empowering to have a low-cost tool that you can add to the toolkit that can be easily embedded into existing government programs and operations and that can help achieve existing program goals and policy goals. I think agencies have really embraced these low-lift changes and the ability to quantify improvements using rigorous evaluation in a short period of time. Sometimes we'll learn within a week what version of an email, say, is more effective, and then the agency can roll that email out more broadly.
I think another factor that's probably opened up doors with agencies, and this is a useful lesson for other parts of government, like states or localities that want to set up a similar capacity, is that your team starts with a focus on what's an agency's key challenge. In other words, you're not looking to apply behavioral insights just wherever you can. You start by identifying what an agency wants better results on, and then how can we use these approaches to solve that specific problem. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right. So I think that so many of our collaborations have been fruitful and successful with federal agencies because we are aligning ourselves with existing priorities and goals. Our mission is to add an additional tool to the toolkit of approaches and resources and innovative tools that they can use to help tackle their problems, given a lot of competing priorities and responsibilities and limited program dollars. And so we're trying to leverage what we know from behavioral science to make those improvements in a cost-effective manner.
Maya, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Andy. It was great to be here.
I'll post the report to the website for our listeners to check out. I'll also note that not every project that they did was successful in terms of improving outcomes. And the projects that weren't successful are also included in the report, and I would say are equally interesting and important. One example is from the Treasury Department that greatly improved the letters that it sends out to people who owe payments to the government. The Treasury Department made the letter much clearer and added behavioral insights, but they did an A-B test and it showed that the new version of the letter did not work better, maybe because people weren't opening the letters in the first place. So it's a good example of the importance of not only trying out new approaches in the public sector, but also rigorously testing whether those approaches work better or not, not just relying on hunches, so we can innovate smartly. Thanks for joining us.